Yeah, you're welcome.
I mean, let's just have a start off looking back at England. I mean, we've all been licking our wounds since then. But I mean, Joe, what did you make of England's performance, especially against Iceland?
Well, I think same as everybody else, really. Massively disappointed. But I think I was disappointed with the whole four games that they played. And just felt that they lacking in direction. They looked like they were massively lacking in confidence. And there's got to be some kind of core element to why that happens, really. Like the rest of the nation, really, really disappointed.
Yeah, you're right there. And everyone's been trying to sort of pinpoint where England went wrong. And that second half performance, where there didn't seem to be a lot of movement, there were passes that weren't going the right way, it seemed that there was a lot of pressure on these lads. But is that something that, footballers of that standard, they're just going to have to expect and just going to have to deal with on the national stage?
I think they can deal with, I don't think it is pressure. I think they can deal with the pressure. The second half, especially against Iceland, looked like to me 11 individuals who'd been sent out there and looked like they were playing off the cuff as such, really. They didn't look like they'd got any strategy, any shape, any formation, any way that they were going to try and beat Iceland. And I'd listened to Roy Hodgson before the game, who'd said the key to winning the game on the night was width, getting around the back of them, because Iceland were going to play two banks of four down the middle of the pitch and make it difficult to get through the centre of them. So we needed to get wide and get around the back of them. And in the second half, we had no width whatsoever. So that for me is quite annoying that, you say you're going to do one thing and you don't. And it's quite obvious that was the only way that we were going to get through them, because they defended, magnificently. And you've got to try and open teams up in a different way. And like I said, I just think we looked like we were just literally playing it off the cuff and trying to, just hoping that we'd get a goal from somewhere out of something.
And it also seems that when you're looking at a lot of these players, that they've been played out of position, out on the width, out on the wing, when they, striker Sturridge, for example. And it seems like these players are always going to struggle. When you're a footballer, it seems hard enough to actually be playing the game anyway, never mind being played out of position.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It's ridiculous. And for years and years, we've been putting square pegs in round holes, haven't we? Because we don't want to drop, miss the big name who's played, 40 games this season, and it seems that he's got a right to an England shirt. And I think that's got to stop, that has got to stop. To reiterate what other people said, after the game, we went into the championships, we didn't know our best 11, we didn't know what formation we were going to play. In the four games that we played, we didn't look like we'd still decided on a formation and what our best 11 were. And I don't think you can go into football matches with that uncertainty in your mind as a player, because you need direction, you need leadership. They're all good footballers. You can't say that they're not. But they played like 11 individuals, and there were also basic schoolboy errors that were made. The keeper's not had a good tournament at all. My personal opinion is that out of the four goals that we conceded, I'd put three of them down to him. And when you're conceding goals like that, it's always going to be difficult, especially when you're not sticking the ball in at the other end. But we didn't seem to, even against Slovakia, people were saying, we'd not taken our chances. But in my opinion, we didn't really seem to create clear-cut, cutting-edge chances where, how has he missed that, or how's the keeper saved that? They were all little bitty half chances. And I just don't think we went about it in the right manner and tried to open teams up in the right way.
And just looking, obviously, now the FA looking for a new manager. It didn't fill anyone with any confidence when Martin Glenn, the chief executive, said he's not a football man. But when we're looking at the next manager, John, do you think we need someone who's got a bit of character to them that can really sort of bring this team together of big personalities and big wages in from the Premier League?
I don't know what the answer is, to be honest with you. You know, I've listened to many an ex-player who's, you know, we've all got our opinions, haven't we? And I was listening to somebody on the radio this morning who said, you know, we should have, you know, why just go down the English route? Why can't we go for, you know, continental manager? Because the English route doesn't work. Well, call me old-fashioned, but we've had Sven-Goran Eriksson and Capello, and I don't think either of those worked either. So, you know, it's a very, very difficult one. I mean, the man for me, I think the only choice that I think you could go down if you want to stay English and British is probably Glenn Hoddle with some ex-players. You know, I do think the likes of Alan Shearer and Rio Ferdinand and people who've played at that top level and you know, don't get me wrong, they're not the finished article, they're not the answer, they're not going to go in there and they've not got the experience of managing at that level, but they can offer a lot, and I think it's more than just you know, we give the job to one man and it's the responsibility solely on his shoulders. I think there's got to be a team, maybe two or three people. Obviously there's a manager who's in charge, but you know, he gets help from his fellow coaches, and I think we've got to start going into things a lot more positive than we do.
And when we're looking at it now as well, do you think that it should be a much more longer term appointment? Because a lot of these managers, obviously, we all know the game, it's a results based industry, managers can come and go. But when we're looking at the youth set up and the way they're coming through there, do you think that, like you said there, with those ex players and with an English manager, should be kept on for some time? They should have maybe a longer term strategy to it?
Yeah, quite possibly. But, you know, I also think that, you know, we see a lot of this stuff about grassroots and, you know, coaching and that kind of thing. And, you know, if you want ex-footballers and people who've got a lot of knowledge about how to play the game of football, if you want them to stay in the game, you've got to give them opportunities. And it's very, very difficult to get into the game and stay in the game and, you know, to cut your teeth and that kind of thing. But there's got to be some fundamental changes, I think, in the structure of coaching and look at it in a different way. And surely, you know, we should have, and we've got Gareth Southgate at the moment with the under-21s, but surely we should be earmarking maybe 5-6 different people who we can bring through over a period of time and introduce them. And, you know, a couple of people I've heard say, you know, why wasn't Gareth Southgate at the Euros? Why wasn't he there with Roy Hodgson? And why wasn't he sat on the bench and taking it in and seeing how things were done and, you know, giving him the experience of being on in a manager's role or seeing what a manager's role is at a big championship? Yes, he's been a player, but, you know, and it's things like that that there doesn't seem to have been any foresight or any planning of who we have next if this fails. I think you can look back over the last 10, 15, 20 years, and that's quite apparent, isn't it?
No, you're right there. And John, while you're here as well, I just wanted to pick up on one of your former clubs in Sheffield Wednesday, because what a season it's been for them. Obviously, it was unlucky they fell at the final early in the playoff championship final and didn't manage to get into the Premier League. But what a revival it's been so far. And I fully expect them to be up and around there, challenging to get in the Premier League next season. It must be great seeing that revival over at Hillsborough now.
It is, yeah. I mean, they had a fabulous season. I think they overachieved somewhat. Getting to the final, you know, they had a great finish to the season. They did really well in the playoffs, and like you say, it was a step too far. But you know, I think before the season, all the Sheffield Wednesday fans would have taken that with open arms, and hopefully, you know, they've got a guy in charge, Mr. Chancery, the chairman, who seems a very, very sensible guy. He has thrown a considerable amount of money at the football club, but he seems to have spent it wisely. And he said that, you know, he will invest in the team again, and he does want them to progress and make that step up to the Premier League. But, you know, the Championship next season is going to be one of the toughest leagues, you know, in the world, I think. You know, there's some great clubs what have come down, and there's some real, real tough games in that league. It will be a really difficult league to get out of next season. So I hope that you know, they take last season's performances and the success that they had last season into next season. But, you know, they've not got to get carried away, and it's all a matter of starting well and getting points on the board, I think.
Yeah, you're right there. Hopefully we'll see some more happy faces over in Sheffield once again. John, thanks a lot for joining us here on the Afternoon Show.
You're welcome. Thanks, Danny.